Blog Talk Radio.
Bells will be ringing. This sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone.
Entertainment Report. So, wow, wow, wow. Oh, well, I guess you all saying, well, where's the hoot at? Oh, man, I didn't watch the game, but I do know the result of the game between the Falcons and the Saints. 23-13, huh? But Drew did, I mean, it was a good game, huh? Oh, man. So, you know, so congratulations. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of love for Atlanta, ATL. But, so congratulations to the Dirty Birds, to all my friends and everyone in ATL and also ATL fans also. Congratulations for winning the NFC South, right? Last year we were the winners of the NFC South. So it would have been good to experience a back-to-back. So, a lot of big games coming up this weekend. A lot of sports, period. Golf. Who has golf on the brain? I know I do. Tiger and all the other guys that would be out there playing golf. I'll receive an inbox message. Those of you that like to hear what's going on with Ridge Roughneck, he might and might not be calling us this morning. I just wanted to let you know that. Which that is always the situation, I guess. But whenever we talk with Ridge, it's always a hoot. So, is it official or not? Well, is Derek Fisher a Maverick or not? I am working on getting my switchboard up. My switchboard was up, but all of a sudden it's not up. I should have had it my backup screen up on my touch. So, if I sound a little hesitant. Please forgive me. It looked like the meeting, the lunch between the president and Mitt Romney was a success. So that is really good. And so that's good. So hopefully we will be seeing more meetings and coming together the minds of those of us that that love America, regardless of our party affiliation. Like on the call earlier this week with John Hussman with No Labels Org, I missed the call last night with Tom Daschle this evening because I had another call I had to be on that was with Mark, you know, Mark Girl. And so we had a webcast with regarding our holiday promos and all, just being excited for the Christmas season. But one thing that John Hussman mentioned was just the importance of us coming together, all of us, and how he really admired the work of NoLabels.org. If you haven't visited NoLabels.org, please do, really. So today is your birthday. Happy birthday to you also, because there's a lot of Christmas babies, huh? I know a lot of Christmas babies. Shout out to Lewis House. I received an email from him like not too long ago. Let's see. I guess I'm not the only one. Many of us that are part of a Sports Networker and Sports Executive Association probably received the same email. He said I missed it, so he shared a clip from his appearance on FoxNews.com. You all do know that Lewis House writes for Forbes Mag also. So this is something from the email that I received. Oh, Lewis House. It's obvious, I think he's not. Twitter marketing for entrepreneurs. He states that I was recently asked by Fox News to come on and talk about how entrepreneurs can leverage Twitter to grow their business. I had a fun time as my host really didn't believe in Twitter at all, so she tried to stump me, but didn't. You know, kiss and ha-ha. But also he shares his interview. If I can share it in the Twitterverse and on my Facebook page, I will. And also he talks about how he's been writing for Forbes. And he said, I've been writing a lot on Forbes.com still, and I want you to check out my recent article I did with Bob Harper from The Biggest Loser. And he said, it's a good, amazing article. His writing is awesome anyway. Matter of fact, I have a deadline to write an article for Sports Networker, his website. It's about his lessons on winning and losing and in life, health, and business. And he has four key lessons that are right on point. So, it's amazing. And then he writes about going to the Olympics, and his life story is just amazing. You know, going from playing arena football, having a career-ending injury, then chilling on his sister's couch, and he and his business partner, Sean, you know, going to business, and then they decide to host, like, networking events and webinar. You know, he's like a LinkedIn and webinar king guru. And they go on and present these different, you know, authoring books, selling their books via webinars, just different things. Within 3 years, bank account went from zero to becoming a millionaire. Amazing story. And then he's back to being an athlete because he plays on the New York City handball team. And to me, he's only 29. I mean, he always wanted to play for the NFL. So you know, I don't ever hear him say, oh, I still would like to play for the NFL. But I bet he would love the opportunity to play for the NFL. I just bet that. And I'm not a betting lady. But happy birthday again if today is your birthday. And if today is your birthday, you share your birthday with Kelly Cuoco, you know, that funny actress with the Big Bang Theory. She's only 27 today. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., actress, 94. Robert Guillaume, actor from Benson. That show is so funny. 85. G. Gordon Liddy, radio talk show host, is 82. Ridley Scott, director, Gladiator, Black Hawk Down, is 75. Terrence Malick, writer, director, is 69. David Marnett, playwright, 65. Mandy Patinkin, actor, singer, 60. Lawrence Summers, former Treasury Secretary, Harvard President, 58. Richard Burr, U.S. Senator, RNC, 57. I mean, Republican, North Carolina. Billy Idol, 57 today. Rock singer, love him. Colin Mockery, comedian. Whose line is it anyway? 55. Margaret Spellings, former Secretary of Education, is 55. Bo Jackson, pro athlete, he's 50. Sandra Oh, Grey's Anatomy, is 42. Ivan Rodriguez, baseball player, is 41. Mindy McCready, country singer, is 37. Clay Aiken, American Idol, is 34. Shane Vitorino, baseball player, 32. Elisa Cuthbert, she's a good actress. It's only 30. And, oh, my God, the hilarious, multi-talented, crazy guy, actor, director Ben Stiller, turns 47. And today in history, and this is courtesy of Associate Press and Dallas Morning News, on this date, in, on the 30th, 1874, British statesman Winston Churchill was born at Blenheim Palace at Oxfordshire. And in 1782, the United States and Britain signed preliminary peace articles in Paris, ending the Revolutionary War. 1804, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase went on trial accused of political bias. He was acquitted by the Senate. 1835, Arthur Mark Twain was born. Samuel Langhorne Clemens in Florida, Missouri. And in 1929, producer and American Bandstand host Dick Clark was born in Mount Vernon, New York. Wow. 1962, U Thet of Burma was elected Secretary General of the United Nations, succeeding the late Dag Hammarskjöld. 1966, the former British colony of Barbados became independent. 1979, the album, oh my God, my cousin Michael and I, we love this album. Oh, my God. Released in 79, but this was the album of the 80s. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Then The Wall by Pink Floyd was released. Man, oh, man, love that album. 1982, Michael Jackson's Thriller, the best-selling album of all time, was released by Epic Records. 1993, President Bill Clinton signed into law the Brady Bill, which requires a 5-day waiting period for handgun purchases and background checks of prospective buyers. And then in 93, authorities in California arrested Richard Allen Davis, who confessed to abducting and killing 12-year-old Polly Claus of Petaluma. 1995, President Bill Clinton became the first U.S. chief executive to visit Northern Ireland. And then the opening of a 135-nation trade gathering in Seattle was disrupted by at least 40,000 demonstrators, some of whom clashed with the police in 1999. Ken Jennings, oh, I remember that. I seen this guy on something recently. Ken Jennings' streak of 74 wins on the TV game show Jeopardy came to an end, and that was in 04. In 2010, Pentagon leaders called for scrapping the 17-year-old Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban after releasing a survey about the prospect of opening gay troops. And, wow, what is going on with the with the winners? They say that they will announce the, I think, the Missouri winner today of the Powerball, but have you all seen the footage of a guy who is assumingly a construction worker who reveals to those in a convenience store, gas station, and with a clerk that, hey, I'm the winner. I won the Powerball. And those of you that know how Reg Ruffinette looks, you all can send him a friend request at Reggie Ruffin. I'm not quite sure what picture he has up on his page. But that guy, looking at the surveillance camera of footage, that looks like Reg Ruffinette. I'm no joke. You know, I'm like, man. But congratulations to whoever the winners are. I'm telling you, though, if I was a big winner like that, I'd be anonymous. You know, that takes time. I mean, that's some serious business. I know it happens overnight for a lot of people, but then, I mean, wow. I'll be anonymous. Just it'll be a while until it would be a while before it's revealed that I'm the winner, one or the other, because I have to do a lot of planning, meeting with financial advisors, meeting maybe with shrinks also, and definitely, those of you that believe in, in those that pray for you and so on. I definitely would donate to the church I'm a member of, and help important causes dear and near to my heart. So that takes a minute to digest that. It's different. Locally, here in the Deep South, there's been reports that somebody won $10,000, and somebody won $1 million, like in Louisiana, with the Louisiana lottery. But you can kind of deal with $10,000 and $1 million, but you're winning like $190 million. And what if you're in? Well, like a few months ago, that woman won $300 million. That is a culture shock. It is a major culture shock. I'm still working on getting my screen back up. Another one reason why I'm gabbing, and I don't want to leave any like dead air. But look like it'll be coming up soon in a minute. Because there's a lot to talk about. I want to talk about some golf. I want to talk about the NFL schedule. And also, you have about 15, 20 minutes. Because this morning's show is only 45 minutes, like the other show's been this week. Go back to more music and a longer show schedule during the weekend edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Report tomorrow. Big shout out to the guys at LeBaire Dallas, also, and a lot of my other friends that I've been networking with this week and so on. Thank you for your support. Big shout out to Deshaun of Celebrity Catering and Big D, and also, Motions ATL in Atlanta. And also my friends in Miami, my friends in Minneapolis, in L.A. I'm calling out all those I've been networking with or who send me invites. Also, a big shout-out to my friends in the U.K. and Australia. Also, you are a blessing, and I really appreciate your support. So I'm going to pause for a second. Seems like when I do get quiet, I do manage to get my switchboard up quicker. Okay, here it comes. So I don't have to be quiet. Yep. There are movies that I need to catch up on. Lincoln. Silver Lining Playbook. Right, that's the name of the movie. Wow. Skyfall. The Brad Pitt movie seems interesting. I hear it's really violent. I mean, he's playing a hitman. But I'm sure it's going to, because they're talking Oscar buzz. So I'm like, okay, got to check that one out. Please excuse my silence for a second. Shout out to Tiger Woods. I'm listening to the show occasionally. I do know that much. He should call me in one morning and get on Reggie for cracking on him, making jokes on him. When people call me, I'll be like, oh, hi, Tiger. Like the morning that the celebrity impersonator called me and sound exactly like Obama. I mean, you are. I was like, okay, this is like a comedian impersonator. But then I was like, okay, what if it's not a comedian and impersonator? What if it really is the president? So I was, those of you that were listening that morning, I have to feature that show in the near future. So big shout out to Improv, the celebrity impersonator. Oh man, I need to get him on the show again to let us know where he would be performing during this holiday season. Because the dude really had me. I'm like, okay, this is an impersonator, but maybe not. You know, if you were listening, it's like one of those, you would have to be there to see it, the type deals. You know, you would have had to been listening to know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm going to share that episode as a feature in the very near future. Here's another one by Michael Anthony, rep in Texas, and you can catch more of his music at ReverbNation.com, Michael Anthony. He is just amazing. I have been networking with him and talking with him, so I'm going to invite him on the show. So I hope he accepts to come on and discuss his Christmas music.
Bells will be ringing, that's sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone, I have no friends to wish me greetings once again.
Via Forbes, Woods generated $18.9 million in media value but his sponsors Nike and Fuse signed during U.S. Golf telecast this year. While raking up three PGA Tour victories, McIlroy sponsors primarily Jumeirah, Oakley, Titleist, FootJoy, and Audemars Piguet. Is that how you pronounce it? I know the branding is making sure. Received $12.9 million of value. McIlroy is rumored to be switching to Nike equipment next season in a massive 10-year, $200 million deal that's already drawn comparisons to Woods' contracts with the company. If you watch any major tournaments this year, it's not hard to figure out how Tiger has commanded more media exposure than Rory. Despite having less success on the links, he's always on TV, even if he's out of the tournament. He is a brand. He has been, his father started him as a little baby, as not to become a great golfer, a great person, or a great sportsman, but a brand. And that's what a brand is all about. A brand is larger than the person, even though he is a human being and we should look at him as a human being, but that is his brand. And we all have our own personal brands. And that's what reputation and being the best that we can be is all about. And it's all about that brand. So McIlroy's brand is just growing and developing. You know, a Tiger's brand did not just happen overnight, right? It's been developed and has progressed throughout the years. This is me talking. Okay. Back to the article. Tiger's commanded more media exposure than Rory, despite having less success on the links. He's always on TV, even he's out of the tournament. Rory has warranted that wall-to-wall coverage yet. And yet may be the operative word for Nike. A key quote comes later in the piece from an executive at the brand analysis firm that did the study. McIlroy is an interesting case because he has not caught on as much as one might think with the American public, said Peter Lance of Rupercom. But he is certainly trending upward. Tiger is 36 years old. At best, he has 10 years of competitive golf ahead of him and few more years beyond that hanging around majors. McIlroy is 23 and appears to be the only sure thing in a game where the landscape changes every year. He's a bet on the future. Exactly. 10 years from now, his brand will be awesome like Tiger Woods' brand is now. It's all about building that brand. And Tiger Woods' brand, honestly, his father, you all, those of you that are true Tiger historians, you all know that Tiger came out the womb pretty much so at a very young age holding that golf and holding that iron and just ready to play him some golf. I mean, you know, so that his brand has been developing since he was a baby, he and his family being guests on TV shows and morning shows, et cetera, since he was a baby. People then said, wow, when he's an adult, he's a brand. So that's what it's all about. So, you know, tweet the guys and wish them the best. Rory McIlroy, and is Phil Mickelson in this plan? I can't wait to see all of them because, you know, I grew up loving golf. Family members and friends and teachers and all playing golf, and even I had, you know, have attempted to learn how to golf. But wow. Let's just be excited, and it's just amazing that this is that this is going on the Golf Channel, and then tomorrow on NBC News, NBC Sports, and so on. So this should be good. I just hope Tiger does his thing. I hope all of the guys do their thing and just play some good golf and do what they're supposed to do. So I can go on talking about Tiger Woods with some of you know. And then not just Tiger Woods, because I have other favorites like McIlroy and many others. But we need to have the time is limited this morning. Need to go ahead and talk about the NFL coaches and talk about the NFL schedule for this week. A like is promoted on the description of today's show. but it's interesting. The live streaming will stop in a few. Like I said, this week's shows have been 45-minute shows. Whoa. I had not heard about Camacho family ex-girlfriends brawling at a viewing ceremony of the former boxer. I had not heard that. Had you all heard about that? People fighting at the viewing of a man's body. These people have gone, oh, man, this is wild. I'm literally checking out this story, like, right now. I had not heard. Man. Drama is everywhere. I've been working on sharing another article with you all. Tiger chasing Watney at Sherwood. Tiger Woods, they're showing a picture of Tiger Woods, Center, and Steve Stringer yuck it up during the first round Thursday. And this is courtesy of Fox Sports and in Thousand Oaks, California. As expected, Putin was the big topic Thursday in the World Challenge. One day after golf governing bodies proposed a new rule that would ban the anchored stroke used for long putters, Keegan Bradley talked about someone on Twitter telling the PGA champion to send his resume to Burger King in 2016. When the rule goes into effect, Bradley got so fed up with teasing over his belly putter this week that he grabbed Tiger Woods' putter and made 3 out of 4 from 10. The rule doesn't affect Nick Watney, though he couldn't say enough about his putting. He made 5 birdies on his last 10 holes, including his first birdie ever on the 14th hole at Sherwood, but a 5-under 67 that gave him a 2-shot lead. Woods' putting saved his round, even though most of them were of par. That included a 12-foot putt on the 15th and an 8-footer to avoid bogey on the par negative 5 16th. It added up to a 70, which left him very much in the hunt of an 18-man event where he is more than just a tournament host. Without a title sponsor, Woods is underwriting most of the calls. And, yes, even Steve Stricker made news Thursday with his putter. He tried a new one, midlife crisis, he said. The World Challenge is not a hit and giggle at the end of the year, even with a short field, no cut, and lots of holiday cash for all involved. The field is stronger than ever with 13 players from the Ryder Cup, and it showed in the scores. On a cool, overcast day in Conejo Valley, only 8 shots separated the top. Watney from Brant Snedeker bringing up the rear with a 75. Snedeker drilled a fairway middle into 8 feet and made eagle on the 11th hole, only for his round to fall apart. He had 2 provisional tee shots on the par, negative 3, 12, on the 12th. Didn't have to use them, but still made a bogey, and then he snap-hooked his next tee shot and made double bogey. Bradley and a pair of past champions at this tournament, Jim Furyk and Graham McDonald, who 2 shots out of the lead at 79. Woods was in a group at 70 that included Bo Van Pelt, whom Woods beat this year as the Congressional and U.S. Open champion, Webb Simpson. But the buzz remained over the belly. Bradley was the first player to win a major using the belly putter at the 2011 PGA Championship, and then Simpson and Ernie Els followed this year. Bradley's not happy about the rule, though he has been respectful toward the U.S. Golf Association and Royal and Ancient in their right to set the rules. But this is a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder, and this chip could be a big one. He described his round was as awesome aside from a bad break on the 18th that led to the bogey, the only green he missed all day. If I could have made a few more putts, I probably could have been a lot lower, he said, pausing before he added. I know people probably don't want to hear that. He then revealed how much abuse he was taking on Twitter, so he knows better not to take seriously a comment from people he either doesn't know or don't use their real names on social media. That would include one tweet telling him to send in an application to Burger King for 2016. I've been doing a better job lately of not reading them, but I'm going to make a switch when I feel it's best for me, Bradley said. And whether that's tomorrow or in 3 years, we'll see. The switch earlier this year to Woods Clutter was only temporary, and it was a joke. I give him grief every day, Woods said. Too bad Bradley didn't make Woods try a few putts with the belly. You don't want to see Tiger with that putter, Bradley said. If it was up to me, I'd film him and send it to Mike Davis. I think he would take the ban off. Bradley did a little more experimenting after his round Thursday. He gripped his putter a little lower so that the end wasn't anchored to his belly. He ran the putter up his left arm for a few putts, the style used by Matt Kuchar that would remain legal. But as he tinkered around, he noticed the TV camera filming him and stopped. It still is a sensitive subject for Bradley, and he wants everyone to know he's a pretty good golfer with any putter in his bag. I feel like the USGA has really put an X on our back, and really, I received the letter from the USGA early in the year to join back and really shine a light on us, and I don't know if that's exactly fair. Bradley said, I just hope that people look at us for the type of players that we are and the accomplishments that we've had, and not because we use a belly putter. And now that the USGA says it's going to be illegal when we start putting with it, they were legal and they still are. It's a sticky situation, and I hope they can see through that. And as for Stricker, he says, I got his new putter at Golf Store in Madison, Wisconsin, which begs another question. What was he doing in a golf store? Looking for a putter, he said. Stricker figured it was time to mix things up, so during his long break from golf, he went looking for a putter similar to what Luke Donald and Ian Poulter used. He bought a Sabertooth made by Odyssey, the same company that made the putter he has used so long, even the metal tape on the bottom looks old. I like the way it feels. I put it good today, especially on the short ones, Stricker said. Not to worry, he brought his old putter with him to share wood, just in case, he said, with a smile. So that's just a little what's going on with the World Challenge, which is happening now. Can be seen on the Golf Channel and also on NBC, also NBC Sports also. So I know you might want to hear the song before I talk about the head coaches of the NFL and then concluding the show, because this morning's show is only 45 minutes like all the shows have been this week. And except tomorrow, weekend edition, will be all about entertainment, lifestyle news like always, and, of course, awesome music is always fun. This past weekend, though, aired on Sunday at 2. Also, in the near future, maybe this month, the month of December, we'll kick off a program geared to youth advocates and young people. And that will broadcast once a month, okay? So I think about kicking it off like real soon. You all will know. You will see. But really, thank you for tuning in.
Mankind, where are we headed? Where are we going? Mankind, what are we knowing? As I sit and reflect, as I sit and ponder, mankind, I wonder. Destruction and greed, the world filled with many needs. Some say they lead, some say they follow. Some lies can be shallow, dug out like whittling wood, empty and hollow. Oh, mankind, where are we going? Where are we going? In the life of the fast pace, we all are slowing. This human race, forgetting the small things, the lovely things, the things that are the true essence of life. Why the strife? Why the mayhem? The unnecessary hunger, the wanting, the yearning. Mankind, where are we headed? Where are we going? Mankind, what are we knowing? turning pages in our learning. Left hand, can you feel the heat of the fire burning? Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. We have peace. We love peace, but we fight. We love peace, but we bomb. With words of hate fill the night. Is this our way? Is this the way? Actions, they say, speak louder than words. Words, but things in action. Mankind, where are we headed? Where are we going? Mankind, what are we knowing? Either we add or we get caught in the distractions, subtractions of life. Life has many moments, many levels and fractions. Every minute detail, a piece, a puzzle piece that has a place. Mankind, do you see the similarities? Then why cause so much calamities? Mankind, where are we headed? Where are we going? Mankind, what are we knowing? What is the aim? What is the goal we are reaching for? To have more, 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 and more? Then when one is gone and things are left behind, as I said, things are left behind. All we take is our deeds, the proper to the improper. Who influenced you, and who did you influence? Questions to be asked. The other side. The true soul ride. Mankind, where are we headed? Where are we going? Tell me, mankind, what are we knowing? What are we knowing?
Red Days, those awesome guys. My favorite reggae fusion band. That's a fusion band because they have hip hop and reggae and just jazz. Everything just fused into one. So big shout out to the guys. Awesome. Always staying in touch with them. They're telling me that they're in the studio now working on new music, and we will be the first to know and to hear. Hey. You know what? They would be so awesome. We love St. Patrick's Day celebrations down here. And they would be so awesome to come down here and celebrate St. Patrick's Day with us. I gotta show some of these locals their material because they need to be booked to celebrate with us. If not St. Patrick's Day, some celebration down here in the Deep South, period. My friends in Dallas love reggae music. You all should consider booking them because they travel all over the world, but they're always gigging. But they're working on new music now, so that is super awesome.
Gangnam Style.
Continue profiling the NFL coaches next Friday, and the next coach will be Leslie Frazier of the Vikings. Thank you again for your support.
Sexy lover.
males to be loved.
Let's go.
Christmas is in the air. Since 1907, millions of Americans have decorated their holiday cards and packages with the American Lung Association's Christmas Seal. Money raised through Christmas Seals funds vital research and education in asthma, lung cancer, and other debilitating lung diseases. And it helps fund the fight to protect kids from tobacco and promote cleaner air all across America. Join us as America celebrates another year of Christmas Seals. At ChristmasSeals.org, you can revisit 100 years of Christmas Seals designs and even email them to family and friends. But most importantly, you can order this year's seals and be a part of this life-saving holiday tradition. Celebrate another year with American Lung Association Christmas Seals at ChristmasSeals.org.
And a happy new year. Again, what is the holiday season about the Christmas seals, huh? I know, amazing. Okay, look like we will have time to talk about Leslie Frazier, NFC North coach. Leslie Antonio Frazier, born April 3rd, 1959, is a former cornerback safety in the National Football League for the Chicago Bears and is currently the head coach for the Minnesota Vikings. He played college football here in Mississippi at Alcorn State University, where he lined up in the defensive secondary next to Roynell Young. Frazier was part of the 1985 Chicago Bears team that won a Super Bowl during the 85 championship season. Frazier led the team with 6 interceptions. His career was cut short due to a knee injury. He suffered returning a punt in the second quarter of the Super Bowl. He was also a member of the G Crew in the video, the Super Bowl Shuffle. Oh, my God, I loved that as a teenager. Coaching career. Frazier started his coaching career in 88 as the first head coach at Trinity College in Illinois, now known as Trinity International University. He held the position for 9 seasons, built the NAIA program from the ground up, and won a pair of Northern Illinois Intercollegiate Conference titles before he moved on to the University of Illinois in 1997 as the Illinois defensive backs coach. In 1999, Frazier joined first-time head coach Andy Reid as defensive backs coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. It was there that Frazier worked as a fellow assistant with the Vikings' future head coach, Brad Childress. The Eagles' defense improved steadily in the 4 years that Frazier was there. He was defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals from 03 to 04, where he helped turn the unit into a group that increased takeaways from 24 in 03 to 36 in 04. The Bengals' 36 takeaways ranked third in the NFL in 04. The 04 Bengals notched 20 interceptions, the most since 96. The Bengals' defense improved from 28th in the league in total yards allowed in 03 to 19th in 04 and declined in the 2 years following his dismissal. In 05, Frazier was hired by Tom Dungy as a defensive assistant for the Indianapolis Colts, receiving the title of special assistant to the head coach as well as defensive backs coach. He was specifically brought in by Dungy to help the Colts' young corps of defensive backs. During his time in Indianapolis, the Colts' passing defense improved from 15 in 05 to 2nd in 06. On February 4th, 07, the Colts beat Frazier's former team, the Chicago Bears, in the Super Bowl. 4 days later, on February 8th, 07, he became the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings following the hiring of the Vikings defensive coordinator Mike Tomlin by the Pittsburgh Steelers as their head coach. On November 22nd, 2010, the Vikings fired head coach Brad Childress after the team started 3-7 and named Frazier the interim head coach for the remainder of the 2010 year season. Frazier ended the 2010 season with a loss to the Detroit Lions, putting the Vikings in last place in the NFC North. Frazier's record in 2010 was 3-3. On January 3rd, 2011, the Vikings and Leslie Frazier reached an agreement, making him the permanent head coach in first season. As head coach, the building rebuilding of the Vikings went from 3-13, their worst season since 84. On December 5th, 2011, Vikings owner Zyke Riff stated Frazier would return in 2012. And we were so excited down here in Mississippi with him being, you know, a product of a swag school right here, Alcorn State University. Preceded by Mark Duffner, Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator of 2003-2004, and then succeeded by Chuck Bresnahan. And when he was Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator from 07 to 10, he was preceded by Mike Tomlin and then succeeded by Fred Paget. So that's a little bit about him. Again, he was born also not only a product of Alcorn State, but born in Columbus, Mississippi. I was mentioning to you all that he's a native of Mississippi. And he first debuted, he was undrafted in 81, and he debuted with the Chicago Bears in 81. And then he last played in 85 with the Chicago Bears. And so his career history was as a player of Chicago Bears from 81 to 85. Then he worked as a coach at Trinity International University. We're doing a recap. University of Illinois, Philadelphia Eagles, Cincinnati Bengals, Indianapolis Colts, and now he worked himself up, literally, worked with the Minnesota Vikings also, from defensive coordinator to assistant head coach and defensive coordinator to interim head coach to head coach, and has been a part of two Super Bowls. And his regular season record, head coaching record, is 12-20. Postseason zero, career record is 12-20. So wishing he and his loved ones and his family a happy, happy holiday season also. So now we're through the NFC North coaches. So next week we will move on. And really got to finish the season. The season is almost over. So definitely need to talk about at least 2 to 3 coaches during each Sports Friday edition broadcast. Because we want to cover all of the coaches. And plus, we talked about an interim coaches also. And also Coach Payton, who's a friend of mine, we need to also talk about him, being suspended this year. Okay, so next we need to talk about AFC South. I haven't talked about them. NFC South. AFC West and NFC West. So we have Gary Kubiak, and then we have, wait a second, I got to talk about them. But no, we got to talk about them. I haven't talked about them, but it seems like it. They talk about Indianapolis Colts, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints. The interim coaches, Joe Vitt, Aaron Cromer, plus Coach Payton, Greg Schiano of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, AFC West, John Fox with Denver Broncos, Romeo Crennel of Kansas City Chiefs, Dennis Allen of Oakland Raiders, North Turner with San Diego Chargers, Ken Whisenhunt with Arizona Cardinals, Jeff Fisher with St. Louis Rams, Jim Harbaugh with San Francisco 49ers, and Pete Carroll with the Seattle Seahawks. Those are the coaches that we're left with. So we're going to want to cover all of them because all these stories are so amazing. And I'm getting it straight from Wikipedia. But those of you that do know these coaches also, and work with these coaches, you should call in sometimes and talk about these awesome guys of the NFL. Awesome. So this has been a blast profiling them. So I guess we'll be profiling the NBA coaches and executives also. Probably switch it up from athletes and coaches and executives. We're talking about the NBA. So thank you so much for tuning in and for your support. I hope you're enjoying the holiday season and looking forward for a fabulous 2013. Okay. My switchboard had come up, and then it decided to do a Chris Angel right in front of me in, Spanish. There's another song by Michael Anthony I would like to play for you all that I played on yesterday called Merry's Christmas. And so now that I can add more songs because most of them. Okay. I'm going to play that song for you, and I hope you love it. And I need to add Albie Shore. I wonder what Christmas song Albie Shore would be releasing this year. Last year he released Silent Night, beautiful song. Here's Mary's Christmas by Michael Anthony. Because those of you that didn't listen yesterday, you didn't hear this song.
Merry Christmas, how you been? Me, I'm doing fine, I'm still alive and kicking. After all of these years, the Christmas tree is up, lighting up the room, hung up the stockings. That day will be here soon. Need to wrap a few more presents and place them under the tree. Johnny's playing football. You ought to see him run. We watched him play just last Saturday. Man, they almost won. You'd be so proud of the man. Starting to become. And little Susie's quite the charmer. She always gets her way. Hard to tell her no sometimes. When she looks at me that way, I'm wrapped around her finger. Like you always said I'd be. Sitting here feeling so blessed, but I can't lie to myself. It's you that I miss. It'll be a bittersweet day. Come Merry Christmas. I still recall that early Christmas morn. Kids were at the grandma's house, all snuggled up and warm. It was hard to see the road through all the falling snow. Then out of nowhere fast, I saw a big bright light. There was nothing I could do. There just wasn't any time. When I woke up that evening, told me you were gone. I cried so hard. Oh, I cried for you. I cried for our children. It was all that I could do. Such a sad, sad day. On Mary's Christmas.
Beautiful voice, beautiful song, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. okay, the Falcons are the NFC South champs. Beat the Saints last night. Those of you that were able to watch it on NFL Network, seeing it live in full effect, 23-13. Okay, there are no bye weeks this week. This is week 13. And also, before the show concludes, I want to shout out Brandon and South Panola. Brandon, do your thing. But I'm shouting out both because I am a big supporter of student athletes. Okay, the Seahawks at the Bears will be on Fox on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on CBS. Texans at the Titans, or Patriots at the Dolphins, Jaguars at the Bills, and Colts at Lions. All of those are CBS. It will be televised at noon, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Fox, there will be the Panthers at the Chiefs, Vikings at the Packers, 49ers at the Rams, Cardinals at the Jets, Buccaneers at the Broncos. And those are 1 o'clock games also. And on Sunday evening, Buccaneers at the – wait a second. Okay. Cardinals at the Jets. Okay, 4 o'clock, 4 or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Fox. Buccaneers at the Broncos at Denver. 4:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Steelers at Ravens. Bengals at the Chargers. Browns at the Raiders. And then on NBC, they're meeting again. The Eagles at the Cowboys. That's gonna be a good one. All of them are gonna be good ones. And then Monday night football, December the 3rd, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, ESPN, will be the Giants at the Redskins. So those are the schedules for the 13th week of the NFL season. And also the Seattle Seahawks are 6-5, and Chicago Bears are 8-3. And that game is 1 p.m. at Soldier Field on Sunday. And you can check out Fox, DirecTV, NFL Red Zone online, Sirius XM Radio also. When the Seattle Seahawks meet the Chicago Bears, Seattle being 6-5, and Chicago Bears being 8-3. And all of these are, oh my, wow, it's getting good. It's getting good. It's getting good. Most definitely. So. Those are the schedules for this weekend, dealing with the NFL schedule. I tell you, I'm going to go over the schedule. Some of you, if you're like me, you need to know, okay, wait a second. When is who? When is what? And so that's what's happening this 13th week. Wow, 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 wow. Who will be going to the New Orleans Superdome? Speaking of New Orleans Superdome, there will be a concert on the 16th of February after the Super Bowl, on the 16th, a week or two after the Super Bowl. It's going to be Albie Sure, 2020, SWV, and a couple other acts. So I just wanted to let you all know I had received information regarding that, and some of you might want to know about it. So I just wanted to share that with you. So I'm going to try to get this schedule out to you right now on Facebook. But you can just check out NFL.com and schedules, and you can check it out. And also your respective favorite teams also. Those of you that you want to check out more that's going on with the Saints, New Orleans Saints.com, the Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys.com. But you know, just check out NFL.com schedule to see what's going on with those. So I just shared them with you. So, wow. And you all do know that Jackson State will be going to the SWAC Championship on December the 8th, so we'll definitely be talking more about Jackson State and their journey to Birmingham, Alabama on December the 8th. We'll be talking about them next week. And every time. This evening in the city of Jackson, the Christmas tree at City Hall will be, the lights will be lit. And also tomorrow, the holiday parade, Christmas parade, I hear it's been a lot of controversy because the Christmas parade is being billed as the holiday parade, and a lot of people are saying, well, it's Christmas. And so the Christmas holiday parade is scheduled for downtown Jackson, Mississippi, at noon tomorrow also, for those of you that want to know. And then, you know, Zig Ziglar, check out ZigZiglarRadio.com. Those of you that would like to listen and know more about the memorial service, the funeral for the amazing Mississippi native, longtime Dallas-based entrepreneur Zig Ziglar. So did receive that information. Check out his Facebook page, Zig Ziglar. Check out his son, also Tom Ziglar, also for more information regarding the funeral services and memorials for Zig Ziglar. Then I hear that former President George, father, 88 years old, has been sick. Michael Jackson's father, 83-year-old, the Jackson family, the Jackson patriot, Joe Jackson, 83 years old, has a light stroke, his third stroke in within the past few years, 5 years or so. So just sending prayers out to these gentlemen. So and just love to all. And thank you for your love also. My neighbor, you all know, is still recovering from a stroke that he had in July. And I haven't seen him yet. He's been home about 3 weeks, and you know, they had to have a repairman over to remodel, to do some remodeling so they accommodate him better. So I pray to see him this weekend. I had to build myself up because, you know, he lost his wife this past January. But one thing about it, the family was to get together over there Thanksgiving. So they're telling me he's recovering and so on. So looking forward to seeing him in the near future. But, you know, we have to take care of ourselves. You know, I lost my brother. I was 14. My brother was 23 from a stroke. So, you know, we just have to take care of ourselves regardless of. I'm doing my best to take care of me also. And, you know, we always have room for improvement, even those of us that are in the best of shape. But a big shout out to those of you that are my coaches and my personal trainers. And, you know, shout out to those people here in Jackson, my friends in Dallas, and people who are just amazing support systems, part of the amazing support system just worldwide. I mean, one of my former classmates in Dallas, she and some of her friends, I didn't know that she had been focused on losing some weight. She had a goal of 30, and she's near that goal of 30. She lost, like, as of last week, like 20-something pounds. And I didn't even know she was on this journey, and I was letting her know, hey, I'm on a journey, too, of becoming the fittest I've ever been. Also, and so it's just good to encourage one another, and not just in that, just in life and your endeavors and going after your goals and just believing in others. It's just amazing, you know. So I don't want to just go on and on, but this is tis the season to definitely be thankful, even those of us that feel bah humbug. Back to what I was telling you all that Attorney Jay was saying a few weeks ago. Just because some people are not festive does not mean they're not thankful. It's all about being thankful, and being thankful is an everyday experience also. And so we have to do our best to be optimistic and to help others and encourage others to become a little bit more optimistic also. And those of us that are optimistic and always looking at the glass half full, you know, we have our hot days too, don't we? And it's good when we get that push and that urge and that you can do it from others, right? Right, I know. It's just amazing. I know, because you all do it to me all the time, the listening audience of the show right here.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way.
Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
That's right. Those of you that are working on quitting smoking, you can do it. You can do it. You know, we all have our vices. So you can do it. I believe you can. Even Whoopi Goldberg has stopped smoking. She had been talking about it recently, but you all know about a month ago she had mentioned that she had stopped smoking. So, you know, some people have to wean themselves. Some people have to quit cold turkey, you know. So I'm believing in you all that are working on quitting smoking or at least cutting down on smoking. You know, sometimes it's about, I'm sure it's sometimes about cutting down. And if you get down to that stage, I'm not a smoker, but you get down to that stage of cutting down, for some people it's probably easier to quit when you cut down on smoking. I can just imagine you probably, that urge to smoke probably leaves your body, leaves your psyche, and so on. So, you know. So you want to be sure to join the weekend party with Weekend Edition. Culture Shock Entertainment reports also. It's always a blast, always fun. Love chatting with you. Love when I have interviews scheduled, and love when surprise callers call in. It's always fun. A big shout out also to local establishments, Premier Bar and Grill, Martin's Bar, Slick's Bar and Grill, Dream Jackson, my friend Kamikaze and his missus. Also, on Monday, there's going to be an event at Tukulu College regarding AIDS and HIV awareness. So you might want to check out their Facebook page to see more of what's going on there.